and amen. Turn to somebody and say, I have victory in my heart. I have victory in my heart. Victory in my heart. Praise God. Praise God. All I see is victory. All I see is victory. All I see is victory. That's all I see is victory. Praise God. All right, are you ready for the word? Open your Bibles, Luke chapter 22. We'll do a quick review of what we've been talking about over the last few weeks about bulldog faith. And I'll just kind of go back over some things that we discussed together about this. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Luke 22 and 31. We talked about in beginning this series, talking about what the devil's desire, what the devil's game plan is for our lives. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus has come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. The Amplified Bible talks about to the overflowing point. That's what Jesus came to do. So the devil's game plan is to really steal the word. Steal the word. Steal the victory. When you talk about stealing the word, you talk about stealing the victory. That sense of victory, that sense of joy, that sense of conquering. And so the devil's game plan is here, verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, so that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, when you are changed, when you are transformed, then you can strengthen your brethren. The devil's plan, as you can see here, is to have you, to sift you as wheat, to drain the life out of us. To do that by wearing down our faith through pressure, disappointment, discouragement, fear, any kind of sense of being overwhelmed in things in life. I was in my office just the other day, and you should see my office, it's cleaner now, but I had folders over here and papers over there and a big calendar up here and all kinds of things going on and assignments to do and things to write and broadcast to prepare for. And right in the middle of it, I just started laughing. And I pointed at the calendar and I laughed. Ha, 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 ha. I pointed at the stack of stuff that needed to be done. Ha, 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 ha. I pointed at all the things that needed to happen. Ha, 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 ha. I got the victory. Yeah. I said, I got the victory. Yeah. Because I refuse to allow the devil to have me. I refuse to have him sift me. He will not drain me. He will not drain me. And one of the things that Terry and I have been doing, even in recent weeks, we have doubled up, tripled up, quadrupled up on the Word of God. We're listening to the Word all the time. All the time. Not just when we go to bed at night. I mean, we are listening to it every opportunity that we have. We're putting that word down on the inside because I refuse to allow the devil to drain me, to drain my life, to drain my joy, to drain my victory, to drain anything that is around me. I refuse. Say, I refuse. I won't do it. I will not do it. He wants to hold us back from using our faith to take a strong stand for what belongs to us. That strong stand is important. Standing on the Word of God, taking your stand on the Word of God. And sometimes we just need to hear a word like this that will just really, like somebody said the other day, that church service was great. It felt like a kick in the pants. I didn't think about putting it that way, but yeah, it kind of felt that way. It's good. It's good to have that. It's good to be shaken by the Holy Ghost. But he wants us to back away from using our faith, developing our faith. Well, it's too hard. Well, it's going to get harder if you don't do it. It's going to get tougher. So that we can take a strong stand. A strong stand. What is a strong stand? To take a word from God, stand on it, and walk it out to victory. Standing on the word. Standing on what he has already said, to come in harmony with him, to come in agreement with what he said about us, to come into a place where we side with the Word of God. I'm in total agreement with what the Word says about me. I'm in total agreement with what God's Word says about my future and my situation. I'm in total agreement with what the Word of God says about my physical body. By His stripes, I was healed. Jesus bore my sickness and He carried my disease. And by His stripes, I am healed. And so you take that strong stand. You stand on that Word. But that's exactly what the devil wants us to not do. It's to take that stand of faith. He wants us to live in a continual state of retreat, pulling back. And that's what pressure does. Getting under pressure, it puts you in a place of continual retreat and backing off, backing away. Well, maybe this doesn't work. It's not working for me. It's not happening for me. Shut your mouth right now. That is cussing in the spirit. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Those are non-productive words in our lives. So we want to make sure that, first of all, we're full of the Word. Because from the recesses of the heart, the mouth will speak. And it will say what's on the inside. But He wants us to live in that continued place of retreat. And I shared with you that some years ago, I was in that condition. I was in that place. I got myself into a place of tremendous pressure. You have a choice. When things are happening, when things are taking place around you, you have a choice. Am I going to submit to the pressure of this? Or I'm going to be free from that pressure? You choose. You make that decision to do what God wants you to do in this. Well, I got under tremendous pressure. This was 2002. And in that year, as I told you before, our family moved 4 times. We lived in 5 different places in 1 year. And that was a lot of pressure. We're in the midst of buying another house. We sold one house, in the midst of buying another house. And we moved from the house that we were living in. And we moved to an apartment. And we lived in that apartment, still had our kids with us, lived in that apartment for a month. In the midst of that month, we went to the Anaheim Victory Camp, Anaheim Convention, and came back to Fort Worth. And then we moved from the apartment into a rental house. And it was the stink house. It was the house. We were literally driven from that house. It did not have a septic system. It had a tank underground that overflowed into the lake. It was bad. It was bad. And it was so bad. I tried to put up with the smell. There's no amount of Glade that you can spray. When it's there, it's there. I remember walking through the house trying to spray it, and it would last for a few moments. So I just carried that with me wherever I went. I sprayed it in my face. No, I didn't do that. And finally, it was so bad one night. Terry and I were in bed, and we had the covers up over us. And she's like, okay, big boy, what do you want to do now? I said, let's evacuate. So we did. We got out of there. And we moved in with Kenneth and Gloria. We were there with them for 6 weeks. And then after those 6 weeks, praise God for Tony and Bev, they found a great rental house for us to move in there. And we lived there for the next 5 years while the other house was being renovated. And I got under such pressure, the pressure was mounting to such a degree that while I was at Kenneth and Gloria's house, I just got to my lowest point with all of this that was going on and all of this that was happening. And so I remember being there a couple of days, and I was by myself in the bedroom. There was a little desk there with a notepad on it, and that's where I kept my Bible. And I sat down one day just to pray. Just to talk to the Lord about this. And as I told you, He spoke to me in a voice that I have not heard very often. And that was the voice of a coach, of a very tough coach. If you will, a drill sergeant, a very tough drill sergeant. The general was speaking to me. And the first thing that he said was, I want you to get more aggressive about your faith. I want you to get more aggressive about your faith. Say it with me. I want you to get more aggressive about your faith. It startled me. It got me right down to the core. I had never really heard that phrase before. I want you to get more aggressive about your faith. I wanted to hear soothing words. I wanted to hear sweet words. I wanted to hear these little kind words coming from him. Oh, George, it's going to be okay. You're going to be all right. No. What did I get? What did I get? I want you to get more aggressive about your faith. But you know what? It lit a fuse on the inside of me. I'm sitting there at that desk, and I just began to write down notes. And I wrote down note after note after note. And what it eventually became was the series on Bulldog Faith. He said even that day, I was writing down some words about being persistent, tenacious, aggressive. And then on that sheet of paper, you can see it on that paper, it says Bulldog. I wrote Bulldog. Bulldog. And so thus began an era in my life that I've never come back from. Never in the sense of going back to that place where I was under that kind of intense pressure. The Lord just started ministering to me about this Bulldog faith. Bulldog faith. And he began to lay it out for me and show it to me. And it's, even here recently, stirring back up on the inside of me. Because there's a lot to do. There's a lot for us to do. There are things to believe for. Here in the church. In the ministry. In your lives. Things that we're all believing God for. Things that they're involved in the good fight of faith. And you can't afford to back up. You can't afford to get down. As I told you, that day that I was talking to the Lord, we had a halftime locker room talk. And he said things to me. He was challenging me. And I needed that. I needed to hear what he was saying to me. And so we began this study of Bulldog Faith and just began to work on it and work on it and work on it. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And let's just review a couple of things about what faith is. What is this bulldog faith? What is it all about? Well, in 1 John chapter 5, in verse 4, it says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." The Amplified Bible says, "This is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith." Our faith. Our bulldog faith is the victory that will overcome anything in our lives. Amen. We will gain the mastery over every part of the curse in our lives. Jesus bore that curse for us. He was hung on the tree. We were redeemed from the curse of the law, and our responsibility is to enforce the blessing on the curse. To literally take our authority, take our dominion. I think God really likes it when his kids wake up to that and wake up to what kind of a dominion they have, what kind of authority they have. Authority over the financial realm, authority over the physical realm. We have authority over our physical body. Body, you get in line in Jesus' name. So that deep determination on the inside of us, it's not what you drum up on the inside. It has to be fed by the Word of God. It has to be based on the Word of God, because anything else will fall apart. You can't just kind of have a cheerleading section without the Word of God backing you and the foundation to what you do. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, our bulldog faith. Or I wrote it this way, the Pastor George translation. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our bulldog faith. Bulldog. Bulldog. When you talk about the word bulldog, you get a sense of what that's saying to you. You get a sense of an attitude. The attitude of a bulldog. And that's what faith is. Faith has an attitude. Faith has an attitude. A little study here, the faith word in the Greek is the word pistis, and it means an aggressive, forward-directed force. Faith is a force. It is a force developed in the human spirit that comes out of the mouth and changes things that need to be changed, moves the mountains that needs to be moved, calls in the things that need to come in. It's a commanding force. The faith words coming out of a believer, they are a commanding force in our lives for our protection, for our deliverance, for the life of God, the literal life of God flowing down on the inside of us. It's an aggressive. In a moment, I'll give you some words for aggressive, but the word aggressive is pretty aggressive. And when we talk about exercising our faith, I'm not talking about you getting aggressive with people. I'm not talking about you fighting with people. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. But it's an attitude that we have about the kingdom of darkness enforcing their defeat that Jesus did for us, speaking to things, speaking to situations, changing those things, as we talked about last week. Those things are subject to change. Anything that's under the curse, trying to operate in your life, it is subject to change. It is temporal. It is temporary. It is just passing through. Move on through. Move on through. You are not taking up residence in my house. Move on through. That's another demonstration. Do it. Move on through. Sickness, move on through. Poverty, move on through. Fear, move on through. The Lord is saying to us, I want my people to know this. I want my people to operate in this. And I want them to see themselves not beat up, not broken down, not respecting the devil, but laughing at him. That's aggressive. That's aggressive. Faith is never passive. It's not backwards, nor does it retreat. It doesn't pull back. It does not. It is a bulldog. A bulldog is aggressive. He's persistent. He's determined. And that's the way we should be. We should be aggressive, persistent, and determined. Aggressive. Taking the ground. Possessing what is ours. Persistent. I'm not letting up. If this is a staring contest, I win. I stare you down. And determined. There's a difference between the word desperate and determined. The desperation, it's almost a weakness to that word. I'm desperate. I'm so desperate. As opposed to a determination. My determination, like the Apostle Paul said, my determined purpose is to know Him. When you have a determined purpose, nothing is getting in your way. Nothing's standing in the way. You are moving on through to the desired result. The thing that you're desiring, the thing that you're looking for, there is a determination. There's a faith determination. There's a faith determination. I live in a place of faith determination because I work for a man who's a visionary. And he calls me on the phone and he says, Pastor George, I want to do this, I want to do that, and I want to do the other. Sir, yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. We hang up the phone. I go to the Word. I build myself up in my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But that's a great thing, because the more you exercise your faith, the more you exercise that faith, you will see that faith build on the inside of you. There are things that I look back on. I look back on this experience that we went through. And the devil dare not tempt me with that one. I'm done with that. I've exercised my faith to a place where I can smell it a mile away. I can smell that draining that he's trying to do, that pulling from me. I can smell it a mile away. No, devil. Uh-uh. Ha, 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 ha. And that joy that comes out of you, that's your victory. That is a manifestation of the victory in your life. And you know what? Your spirit doesn't know if it's a fake laugh or a real one. It's a laugh. It's a laugh. Well, it's aggressive. It's always forward directed. That's what bulldog faith is. It's always forward directed. It's a force. It is a force. And it is never passive or backward. Passive. It doesn't put up with stuff. You look at the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28. Don't put up with it. Don't settle for it. Don't lay back. Well, you know, we've had this problem in my family for years. Physical issues that have taken place. And I guess it's going to be in me as well. No! 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 I don't receive that. I don't take that. I've got the blood of Jesus running through my veins. Power of God is living. The anointing is working in me. The anointing is working in my mind. The older I get, the sharper I am. The clearer I think. You've got to speak over yourself. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I choose life. I choose words of life. But a bulldog is aggressive, persistent. That's the kind of attitude we're talking about. Bulldog faith will not quit, give up, or let go. Bulldog faith will not quit, give up, or let go. Say, I will not quit.
I will not quit.
I will not give up.
I will not let go.
I will not throw in the towel.
I'm strong in the Lord
and in the power of His might. These are really almost like spiritual exercise classes. Developing your spirit man on the inside. I'm not weak in faith. My faith is growing. My faith is developing. My faith is strong. It's getting stronger every single day. But I have room to say that because I'm feeding it. You have to feed your faith. Then you have to act on it, and develop it, and walk on it. Bulldog faith says, God's word is mine now, devil. You can't take it from me. Be assured when this is over, I win. Be assured when this is over, I win. Say, I win.
I win.
I heard something about I win today, didn't we? Didn't we? I believe that we will win. Everything that tries to come against you, this is an opportunity. It's a great opportunity to put your faith to work. The devil is stupid. He's stupid and he's ignorant because he doesn't realize the more gasoline he pours on your fire, the brighter you're going to burn. Oh, man. So the stuff that comes after us, this is why we have to operate in a place of bulldog faith. Because, you know, we're in church right now and we're all together. And we're all shouting and everything. You need to do that at home. That's where the real test comes in. When you're by yourself and you're walking around your house and you start entertaining and thinking all that stuff that's going on, what's happening? You just need to begin to declare out loud, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. He causes me to always triumph in Christ Jesus. And whatever it is, I've been listening to a message by Brother Hagin over and over and over again. Healing belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. It is so good. And one of the things that he talks about there, he said, your healing is an accomplished fact. You're already healed now. Your healing is an accomplished fact. He said, that's the way God sees it. That's the way God sees it. My healing
is
an accomplished fact.
It's already done.
It's already complete.
I receive it.
Oh, praise God for it. Praise God for it. You have to get aggressive. We have to get aggressive where our faith is concerned. So let's talk about this. We're talking about bulldog faith is aggressive. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Bulldog faith is aggressive. Let me give you some words for aggressive. I looked them up. And again, we're not talking about the way we treat people. We're talking about the way we treat the devil. We're talking about the way we treat the forces of darkness. And we're talking about the way we treat things. Things, issues, challenges, things that happen in our lives. And just some words that describe aggressive, it means an all-out effort to win. I believe we win. An all-out effort to win. It is boldly and relentlessly assertive. Boldly. You got to get bold about the word. And it doesn't matter what kind of personality you think you are. Well, I'm just soft. I'm very quiet. Well, get loud. Get loud. Get aggressive. Get aggressive in the word. And relentlessly assertive. It is forward, pushy, militant, forceful, tough, violent, and ready to fight. That's what bulldog faith is. That's what it is. Again, we're not talking about people. I must keep saying this. But we are forward with our faith. We are pushy where the devil is concerned. You resist the devil and he will flee from you with stark terror. That's what we have to do. To be militant about it. You have to be militant about it. When it comes to the human body or to the financial picture or dealing with fear or children or any number of issues, you have to be militant about it. You have to be tough on yourself. And sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes that's hard to do. But you have to be tough on yourself. You've got to be tough on your own body, tough on your mind. Because the devil will try to steal, kill, and destroy from you. But you operate in the authority that has been given to you already. So we're forceful. We're tough in the spirit. I'm tough in the spirit. Don't mess with me in the spirit. Because there's a toughness. There's a toughness on the inside of Pastor George. There's a bulldog living on the inside of him. Somebody said, cast him out. No. Ready to fight. The attitude of faith. the faith attitude. It says in Hebrews 11:32, it says, and what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and of Samuel, and of the prophets. Now listen to this. Who through faith subdued kingdoms? Through faith. Yes, sir. Through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. I made a little note here in my Bible. The Message translation says, turned disadvantage into advantage. By faith. Say, by faith.
By faith.
By faith, out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. By faith. Say, by faith.
By faith.
By faith.
By faith.
By faith, they subdued kingdoms. They overcame. They won battles. They won battles. They won battles. They wrought righteousness. Righteousness. Everything made right was by faith. By faith, they obtained promises. That is so important. We have to, by faith, obtain the promises that belong to us, that answer every issue we face. I take that promise. I take it. It belongs to me. It's mine. It's mine. They stopped the mouths of lions by faith. By faith, Daniel stopped the mouths of lions. The mouths of lions. That's the roar of the devil's words speaking to you, talking to you. You're not going to make it. You're not going to get healed. You are not going to pay off that house. Your children are never going to come in line with the word of God. They're always, shut up! You'll always, shut up! Super Kid Academy up here. Bulldog. Bulldog. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we're made strong. Wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the enemies. That is the attitude of faith. That is the attitude of bulldog faith. Turn to Mark 11. Mark 11. We'll see here again this attitude of faith. Mark 11. Verse 22. Jesus answering said to them, have bulldog faith. What he's saying there in faith? Faith is aggressive. Faith is aggressive. Faith is pushy. Faith is militant. He's really saying to them, have faith in God, or have the same kind of faith that I have. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. The word receive is an aggressive word. It's an aggressive word. It means to take something and hold on to it. It means to seize with a grip that cannot be shaken off. As I demonstrated last week, taking the Bible, I bit down on it. You have to take the word of God, bite down on it. Because the devil will try to steal that from you. He'll try to steal it from you. Try to take it from you. The cares of the world coming into your heart, into your life, trying to take that word out of your mouth. But you have to seize it with a grip that cannot be shaken off. It can't be shaken off. That's what aggressive faith is. Turn to Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll begin to wrap it up with this. 1 Samuel 17. As I was studying this, I looked at a young man, a teenager, 17-year-old, who was aggressive with his faith. How many 17-year-olds do I have in church today? 16, 17, 18, 15-year-olds. Let me see your hand. They're all spread out there. I'm telling you, this is amazing. And this, David operated in a bulldog faith. And as I was reading this and rereading this, I was seeing us in this picture. Bulldog faith is aggressive. It runs towards the enemy and not away from the enemy. It doesn't cow down. It doesn't shrink back. But it hits the target. It goes for the target. It runs for the goal. Football is a great illustration of bulldog faith. I'm going to get this ball down through that goal. And they fight their way through in a battle to do it. But they don't lose sight. It's very rare that you see the guy that catches the ball run the other direction. It has happened. No, they are so focused on the end result. so focused on the end result. A friend of mine who was a karate expert talked to me about this and talked about when they would chop those blocks. When preparing themselves to do that, they would see all the way through to the end. They never saw the surface of that. They never would allow the surface to come into their thinking. They would be so focused on the end result. And that's what faith is. Faith is focused. Faith has a laser beamed focus on the end result. Far too often, people are looking at the dreaded outcome. How this thing's going to come out. How's it going to play out? And you have to get victory minded. You have to be victory minded. We win every time. Every time. Say every time.
Every time.
I win every time. That's what faith does. That's what faith does. It is an explosive weapon on the inside of us that we need to learn how to use and operate. And I was seeing it with David, and I saw the whole scenario with David and the armies of Israel out there in the fields. And there's Goliath standing there, defying the armies of God, defying the armies of Israel. One of the trips that we took to Israel, we drove by that huge field where that took place. A friend of mine was there one time. He brought home a stone. I've got it at home, a stone from the field where that took place. And it says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 4, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." He was 10 feet tall. The guy was 10 feet tall. There are some things in our lives right now that look 10 feet tall. Imposing. That's several feet above my head, 10 feet tall. And he had a helmet of brass on his head. He was armed, clothed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He was wearing 126 pounds. All show. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target or a sword of brass between his shoulders. So there's a huge sword back here between his shoulders. He's 10 feet tall. He's carrying 126. I'm telling you, I'm painting a picture of what the devil tries to paint before you, of the things that's trying to loom over you right now that you are going to blast. We are going to run into it. Not run away from it. Not be fearful of it, but run right into it. Target of brass, huge sword. I wouldn't be surprised if he's walking around there and he pulls out that sword and just starts wielding it like this, just wielding it back and forth. I'll tell you, that's what the devil's trying to do to some of you. He's taking out that sword and he's just trying to wield it in your face. Intimidation. That's what the devil tries to do, as a roaring lion. But it says in Peter, we are to remain steadfast against him, taking our stand against him. So he takes out that sword and he starts to rattle that sword, starts to wave it around, prance around there. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. I read one translation. It says it's like a fence rail. That's what a staff is like, a fence rail. So he's walking around with that thing. He's probably fence rail, probably twirling it, throwing it in the air, catching it, just really making a fool of himself. And his spear's head, the spear's head, see, I had this spear and it was as long as a fence rail and it weighed 600 shekels. The tip of it, 15 pounds on the tip of it. He's walking around with his fence rail, with 15 pounds at the end of it going, look, 15 pounds at the end. Everybody's going, and he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel. That's the mouth of the lion shouting right there, and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you. Let him come down. Let him come down to me. Oh, I skipped a part. I'm sorry. Verse 7. This is very important. Excuse me. Back up. The spearhead had 15 pounds, but then it says something. I never realized this. I never really saw this until just a little while, just a few minutes ago, actually. And one bearing a shield went before him.
I'm the shield bearer. Look at me.
He's about 5 foot tall, kind of a scrawny guy, but he's right out in front. He's right out in front.
Look at me. Ooh, 15 pounds at the end of that one. Whoa.
I just have a world full of ideas about this guy. Wow. Okay, and so Goliath stood, he cried out, am I not a Philistine and you servants to Saul? Choose a man for you. Let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants. Serve us. The destiny of Israel and the future of Israel was facing them there. Can you picture it? All of these soldiers are standing there. Saul says, who volunteers? All of them except one backs up. What? They weren't ready for that. And the Philistine said, he said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Come on, come on. Give me somebody that'll fight me. Give me somebody that'll fight me. When Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. There's the fear factor right there. There's the fear factor right there that the devil tries to whisper to you. He tries to say things to you. He tries to enforce a defeat on you that is not yours. He tries to talk to you. And you need to get to the place in the spirit where you put your fingers in your ears and to the devil you go, na, 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 na. In the name of Jesus, I am healed, I am delivered, I am strong, I am prosperous, I am debt free. Sorry. Verse 15, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. See, there's a persistence there. 40 days, same thing. Over and over and over again. I'm telling you guys what we have to do. Whatever the devil is saying to you, you got to counter it and counter it now. You got to take the word of God, counter it. And you do the same thing that Goliath was doing to the armies of Israel. You wear down the resistance of the devil with your persistence. Yes. We'll get into that later about persistence, but that's what you have to do. That's what he does. That's his weapon is persistence. He's persistent on trying to talk you into something that you've been delivered from. The Philistine drew near morning and evening. See, he's laying out our own strategy here. Morning and evening. We need to be in the Word. We need to be putting that Word, listening to the Word, keeping that Word down on the inside over and over and over again, washing out the doubt and the unbelief out of us, detoxing our spirit and getting the pure Word down on the inside of us. Persistence wears down resistance. Now, it works both ways. It worked from the enemy to Israel, but it also works from us to the devil. You can be persistent where he's concerned. That's right. You can be persistent with your declaration and your confession and your determination. You can be persistent about it day and night. When you wake up in the morning, you have that scripture right there. You speak that out of your mouth. And don't let him enter your mind. Don't let one thing enter your mind. If you have to say it out loud, you say it out loud. My healing is an accomplished fact. I'm healed now. And just start it right there. There is something about this walk of faith. How far do you want to go? Amen. Well, what kind of results do you want to have? Well, then how far are you going to go? What does the champion football team do? They work, and they work hard. They practice, they exercise, they run their drills. They practice, they exercise, they run their drills. And it's no different than you and me. It's no different than us. And there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that don't realize that. They'll go to church, they'll get whatever little bit of word that they get, and then they put their Bibles up for the rest of the week, and then they expect some kind of results. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. But the thing about this, it's fun. It is fun. It is so much fun to see God work in our lives and to be able to live a life like this where the devil isn't persistent on you and he's talking you through the mouth of the lion. You're the one that's doing the speaking. And just like I demonstrated, he runs away. He's off. He's gone. He runs in stark terror. In verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, for they were sore afraid. They ran in the other direction. They ran in the other direction. Football team again. I mean, I don't know how many of you played football in high school. I played in the band, so I didn't play football. But anyway, but I don't know if you've ever faced a team that everybody on that team was like a good foot and a half taller than you, foot and a half wider than you. It's almost like you get up to the line and want to back up and run away. That's what the devil does. He puts on his big man suit. He puts on his Goliath suit. And it doesn't have 126 pounds. It's all made of rubber. It's just a big rubber. It's a big rubber suit that he walks around in. Whoa! Whoa! It's like Chuck E. Cheese. Verse 26, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? David wants to know what he's going to get. He's 17 years old. How much are you going to pay me for that? You want me to mow your lawn? You're going to pay me for that? You want me to take out some trash? How much can I get? I'll give you $5. Oh, wow. Okay, I'll do that right away. David wants to know. Inquiring teenagers want to know what I'm going to get to kill a Philistine. And then, but David said, he said, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You should be saying that to every curse that's trying to rise up against you, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, in every way. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? In other words, uncircumcised is somebody without a covenant. They have no covenant with God. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. David, what an unusual person. Of all of those trained men, David's been out there with the Almighty God. And he's coming in the power of the Lord. And he says, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine. You are too young. You're too young to do that. You're too young to fight with him. You're but a youth. And he is a man of war from his youth. He's had a lot of training. He's had a lot of training, a lot of experience. A lot of experience. Well, David answered him. He said, thy servant kept his father's sheep. It's kind of funny how he's talking about it. He didn't say, I kept my father's sheep. He's saying, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. That anointing of faith began to come on David. Think about that. A lion came out. And a bear and a lion came out and took a lamb, one lamb. David could have thought any number of things. Oh my gosh, there is, I don't know if they were the same time, that there's a lion, there's a bear, I'm out of hair. Dad won't miss one lamb. You guys over there, just gather together, gather up, make it look like there's a lamb. We don't trust you anymore. That's bad. So bad. So here comes a lion, here comes a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. I went out after him. I am going after them, after the bear, after the lion. I went out after him and I smote him. Smote, wiped them out, destroyed them, and delivered it out of his mouth. Give me that lamb. I can imagine how the lamb felt. Hurry up. Oh my God. Can you see them wrestling? Give me. I went out after him. I smote him. That's what you have to do. That's where you have to do, where those words are concerned from the devil. You got to go out there and smote him, delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against him, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and I slew him. I don't know how he did that, what he did, but that must have been some bear with a beard. He grabbed him by the beard. Don't you ever do that again. Don't you touch my lambs. That lamb was standing back there behind David. Go, David, go. Beat him up, beat him up. Hit him one for me. So here's the deal, he says, verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear in this uncircumcised Philistine. I'm telling you guys, what is it? What is the biggest thing? What's the looming thing? That's an uncircumcised Philistine. What kind of financial issue is it? That's an uncircumcised Philistine. What kind of a sickness or disease is it? It is an uncircumcised Philistine. Whatever is going on that is of the curse of the law, it is an uncircumcised Philistine. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. I need my musicians back up. Come on, guys. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Verse 43. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you should come at me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come on, come to me. I'll give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. The Message translation says, come on, I'll make roadkill out of you. Ooh, that spirit of faith is on David now. It's on him now. It's working on him now. I mean, if you could see him in the spirit, there's steam coming out of his ears. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts with the word of God, the God of the armies whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you. I will take your head from you, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowl of the airs and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I'm telling you, this is a picture of the kind of spiritual warfare that you and I are winners of. And in verse 47, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. Now here it is right here. Here comes the enemy. He's walking towards him, coming towards him. And David, he's making decision in his heart. He could either just stand there, or he could start backing up. There's some people that back up on their confession. They start backing up on their confession. But no, the spirit of faith was on David. And while the spirit of faith was on David, it said, and this is so important, David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Yes. Philistine, stand over there. Stand over there. You can be the Philistine's armor bearer. Lost my place. And so, where am I? Oh, thank you. David, it said, they start drawing nigh. So you draw nigh. So here's David. Okay, stop right there. David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. In the Hebrew, it says, suddenly he went headlong with great speed. And then it also says there, so far from fear was he. So far from fear was he. He was standing there. He was so ready. And it says, David put in his hand in his bag and he took a stone. He took a stone and he started to wind up and he's coming towards them. He's running towards them and he's doing like this. And he's starting to run and he's starting to run and he's starting to run. So armor bearer, hit the dirt. Boom. Say anything about, I don't know what the armor bearer did. The armor bearer could have like dove or ran, or maybe it went through him. I don't know. But it says David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. He smote the Philistine, slew him, and there was no sword in David's hand. And therefore David ran, stood on top of the Philistine. And drew it out of the sheath, took his sword. Was that the Philistine sword?
Yes.
Wow, he took that sword out of the sheath, and then he drew it out of the sheath and slew him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Verse 53, and the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines. They spoiled their tents, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem and put his armor in his tent. He brought all that stuff back to his room. His mother had to talk to him about not hanging that head in his room. David, I don't want you to hang that head in the room, all right? You can put it someplace outside, but don't. You can keep the armor, but get rid of the head, okay? Come on, give God praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Everybody stand up, stand up, stand up. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanksgiving. This was a picture to us today of how we are to deal. Kabrana mashebra deskiriara bashatara gashakara basasana. Horiana namara. That's a picture. That's a picture. I'll just read this last scripture to you. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's the armor of God that we take. You are victorious. You are victors. Cut off the head of the enemy. When you cut off his head, you keep him from talking. He can't say a word to you. Come on, guys, come on out. Just lift your hands and glorify the Lord right now.